Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Vidura approaches Maitreya, text number 26. Vidura vacha,
Vidura vacha,
Nante tapasam radhya,
Nante tapasam radhya,
Rishiko saravantike,
Rishiko saravantike,
Saksha bhagavata dishto,
Saksha bhagavata dishto,
Vartya lokam vihasata, Uddhavacha. Uddhava said, Nanu, however, te, of yourself, Tattva Samradhya, one who is worshipful for reception of transcendental knowledge. Rishi, learned scholar, Kausarava, unto the son of Kusha, Maitreya. Antike, staying nearby. Sakshat, directly. Bhagavata, by the personality of Godhead. Adistaha, instructed. Martyalokam, mortal world. Jihasata, wild quitting. Translation and program by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Uddhava said, You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipful for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. Responsively, Sri Uddhava said,
You may take lessons
from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of mayada yatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of mayada yatikrama, because by so doing one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as a spiritual master, but Uddhava did not accept the post because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as his disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person, but he was well-versed also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else, but Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of Mayada Vyatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interest of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. Om Ajnanatim Nandesha, Janantanashira Karanchak, Shumanitan Yanatasman Shigurve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovisam, Sakitanya Mithilasam, Pratadaman, Girati Sakamitikam, Makam Karo Tuga Chalam, Pangam Langayate, Girim Yakripata Mahambande, Shiguru Jinatarinam, Vancha Kalpatri Vascha Kripa Sundivya Evacha, Patitanam Pavnevya Vaishnavya Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigora Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yesterday's verse and today's verse touch on a very important topic. Of course, there's many lessons that one can derive from just one text or one line in a purport that is teaching us about how to behave in the association of Vaishnavas. So there are, of course, in the Sri Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the different categories of devotees and how one should deal with them. So explaining how one mentally honors the devotee who chants the holy name, how one offers obeisances to the devotees who are who have undergone spiritual initiation and are giving Krishna, and how we serve the pure devotee who is advanced and undeviated in the devotional service. So like this, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how our interaction should be so as not to transgress the codes and the conduct, especially in the association of a greater personality. So there's in the teaching of Charitamrita, there's a section where Lord Chaitanya speaks the verse explaining how important Vaishnav etiquette is, and the setting, of course, is towards the end of the Lord's pastimes. And Chalila, where Sanatan Goswami was visiting the Lord in Jagannath Puri during the month of April to May, and it had explained that the Lord Chaitanya, of course, was testing Sri Sanatan Goswami and also glorifying his qualities in the presence of the other devotees. So Lord Chaitanya would take his afternoon meals after being requested by the devotees, and every time when it was lunchtime, he would call for the presence of Sri Sanatan Goswami. And as soon as Sanatan Goswami understood that the Lord would want to see him and associate with him, Sanatan Goswami, without any hesitation, would actually leave and come by the path, basically the beach. He would walk on the beach at noontime and use that path, due to being overwhelmed, of course, by the thought and the anticipation of associating with Lord Chaitanya. He would just go on the sandy beaches, which gets very, very hot this time. And although his feet were getting burnt by the heat, he nevertheless continued to go see the Lord of his life. And he would find the Lord, of course, taking prasadam. And after taking prasadam, he would approach the Lord. And the Lord would ask him, by which path have you come? Of course, there's different... When we go around holy places, we may know of different ways we can reach a certain sacred spot. So Lord Chaitanya asked Sanatan Goswami by which path he had come, and Sanatan Goswami explained that he had come by the by the beach. And Lord Chaitanya exclaimed that, how have you come this way when the weather is very, very hot? Why don't you come through a much cooler path or by the Singhadwar, the gates towards the temple on the eastern side of the Jagannath Puri temple? So Lord Chaitanya was just thinking how your feet would be so blistered and damaged because you have performed this austerity. And of course, in his humility, Sanatana Goswami explained that he didn't feel any pain, he didn't feel any of the heat. And then he started explaining that he didn't have any right to pass by the Singhadwar gate because the servants of Lord Jagannath are always coming and going. And it is the etiquette that when the servants or the pujaris are serving the deity, that they remain as pure as possible. And he did not even want the thought of the servants touching him or his cloth, and in that way contaminating them in their service to Lord Jagannath. So, because Sanatana Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami saw themselves as Maleshas, because of their past association working for the Mohammedan government, they did not want to contaminate any of the servants of Lord Jagannath. So after explaining all this to Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then chanted this verse. Yajapyuti Mahav Jagata Pavana Thomas Pasha Pavithaya Devangana Tathapi Bhaktas Pabhava Mayada Lakshana Mayada Palana Hayasatura Bhushana. So Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Sanatana, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. If one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and thus he is vanquished in this world and the next. So of course the example that Lord Chaitanya was stating by this entire pastime of how Sanatana Goswami would behave, how he would conduct himself, whether it's in relation to deity worship or being in the holy dharma or associating with great personalities. The point Lord Chaitanya wanted to make is that a proper Vaishnava, a devotee, one who is on the path of bhakti, is one who actually follows the different etiquettes that have been given in these shastras. So there's different types of etiquette, and in this section of the Bhagavatam specifically, Prabhupada speaks about Maryada Vyatikrama, impertinently surpassing a greater personality. So I think it was yesterday or the day before, we were hearing about the different levels of seniority according to age, according to when one was initiated, according to when one took Brahman initiation, according to one's services. There's different gradations that we may use to follow etiquette. So here, the word that has been used by Srila Prabhupada in translation of Mayala Vyatikrama is impertinence. Now, when looking at the definition for impertinence, it is explained as rude and not showing proper respect. So the fact that sometimes if we're in an assembly, we might be very, very enthusiastic to preach or to make a correction or something, but we should always understand, to whom am I speaking to and what type of assembly am I in? Because it is clear here that when we're in, according to scriptural injunctions, when we're in the association of greater personalities, even if we know an answer or we know of a better way to explain, so-called better way, Still, we follow the etiquette and we give the opportunity and the respect to that senior personality who is explaining the Shastra. So just like here, there's this triangle of Uddhava, Vidura, Maitreya Rishi, and Srila Prabhupada explains that Uddhava didn't, Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as a spiritual master, but Uddhava didn't accept the post because he was much younger, and also there was a much more qualified personality to actually do that service. So here, the way he acted in this situation, although he himself had been instructed by the Lord, although he had the qualifications, still he checked himself by using Vaishnava etiquette. So Lord Chaitanya says that, you know, the jewel of a devotee is that he follows or she follows Vaishnava etiquette. And in this specific example, we can see that it has been followed. Uddhava advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to get enlightenment and to get more understanding of the pastimes of the Lord, although he himself had the capability of doing that. But because he knows how valuable and how important following Vaishnava etiquette is, he stuck to it. So this is a very, very important lesson when we are dealing with different grades or different types of devotees. We know how to carry ourselves. Sometimes it might not make sense. You might be thinking, I can do this better, or they didn't mention this or that. One devotee actually gave me an example that they were in a class with their spiritual master who happened to be Indra Dumna Swami, and the class was going on, and in between the class, Maharaj mentioned something that wasn't really, I think he forgot a line in a verse, or he made a mistake in a class with so many devotees. And this devotee, just newly initiated, 3, 4, 5 years, put his hand up and corrected Maharaj on the Vyasa in the presence of all his god brothers, in the presence of so many personalities. And he said after that, of course, he himself felt that something was not right. I shouldn't have done that in that assembly. So later on, he went to his spiritual master, Indra Dumna Swami, and he asked, did I do the right thing? And Maharaj explained what the proper etiquette is. Also, in a similar instance, it happened here. One spiritual master was given class, and it was time for, you know, repetition of the mantra. And generally the standard, just like passing the giwik, we give first to the most senior devotees. So one young devotee recited the verse before all the senior devotees started reciting the verse on the board. And I remember the spiritual master looked up and he pointed at this devotee and said, this is not how you do it. We allow the most senior devotees to recite the verse first. So later on, of course, the devotee also realized and he went and apologized. But of course, the devotee is never claiming that I am the most advanced, I should recite this verse first. A devotee does not demand that. A devotee commands respect by the way he carries himself. So all these small things, actually, all these small etiquettes, how we deal with the different types of devotees, whether they're junior, senior, or on the same level, it is very, very important, because otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that if we do not follow proper Vaishnava etiquette, we can lose our strength, we can lose so much, we can lose certain aspects of our spiritual growth just by not following the right etiquette, because we might be committing offenses. Because this Prabhupada explains this Mayada Vyatikrama, is an offense. That is the first line Prabhupada says, one should be very careful about the offense of Mayavada Vyatikrama, or impermanently surpassing a greater personality. So, as I said, the translation for the word impermanent itself means being rude or not offering proper respect. And Lord Chaitanya explains that the jewel of a devotee is that they follow the etiquette. They know how to be respectful at all times and all places. Not only when we're in our infant stages of devotional service, but also here, very, very topmost devotees are also showing that Vaishnava etiquette. So it doesn't mean Vaishnava etiquette is only on the sadhana platform, is only on the lowest platform of practicing devotional service. Even on the advanced stages of devotional service, this etiquette is still kept. And that is why it is very, very important. So Prabhupada says towards the end of the purport, the rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions. Right? In the material world, we always have something to say. Right? We can write a book, we can write essays, we can give our own soliloquies or whatever. We always have an opinion, we always have something to say. And then we read something like this, we should not be very eager to impart instruction. And it's like, oh, but I have something to say, I have an opinion, I feel suppressed, I want to express myself, etc. Can we do something about this? It's a little bit too loud. So it's not that we never ever speak or reveal ourselves, but Prabhupada here is saying we shouldn't be very eager to impart instructions. And we should have some level of humility and understanding and putting our faith in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So when Srila Prabhupada further elaborates on the meaning of humility in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains that humility means one doesn't have the anxiety to be praised by others. We don't get put into anxiety, or when will they praise me, when will they do this and that. So similarly here, we, in a mood of humility, of course we have to develop that and understand how to place our faith in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and see ourselves as subservient parts and parcels of Krishna. That we don't become anxious or eager in the presence of advanced souls to want to impart our own little instructions. Just as the Nectar of Devotion is explaining that it is good, and it also recommends that when we approach the deities, that we use the prayers that have been already composed by the acharyas and praise the deities. That is a recommendation from Nectar of Devotion, that we approach Krishna just as in the morning we sing the songs composed by Lord Brahma, the Brahma Samhita. There's so many nice prayers by the Goswamis that are praising the different aspects of Krishna that we can memorize and repeat. That in itself is a sign of humility, because we're accepting that there are greater souls who have composed even greater verses to glorify you. And we can memorize verses or slokas that deal with specific avenues as a way to express ourselves through the previous acharyas. So this is something that I always think of: learn a verse and repeat it for the pleasure of the deities. And not just mechanically repeat it, but also try to imbibe that verse and really put bhakti when we repeat those slokas. Not that we're just parrots repeating, but there should be some level of devotion in that. So these are all some codes and conducts that are given to us so that we can actually make proper progress without committing offenses. We might get bummed out sometimes thinking the process of sadhana bhakti is just so much, it's so filled with do's and don'ts, and be careful and don't be offensive, etc. But it's never in a way to suppress us or belittle us. It's always in a way to make our bhakti grow. Every single thing that Srila Prabhupada has put in place, it is meant for us to become brahminical. It is meant for us to become Krishna conscious persons. So, the lessons we can take here, as Prabhupada mentions, to follow the right etiquette, especially when dealing with advanced devotees, as well as any other devotee around us. Not that we neglect or we are apprehensive when we deal with those who are newly coming to Krishna consciousness, but every type of devotee, of course, we should respect and deal with properly. And we should be careful not to become, as Prabhupada says here, we shouldn't be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame. Well, we have to go through the process, get the purification that is required for us to receive our transcendental knowledge and put it into application and give it to others. So we don't pass over the honor in terms of stepping over the spiritual masters, whether it's our Shiksha or Diksha gurus, that we serve them and they engage us in Krishna's service and they guide us how to become Krishna conscious. So we don't climb up the ladder and then kick the ladder once we get to our destination. Srila Prabhupada once explained that is how Mayavadi followers behave. They use the knowledge of the Vedas, they elevate themselves, they understand the difference between matter and spirit, but they, because they are thinking they are the doer, they do not see themselves so much as servants of Krishna. The mood of servant is not there. When once they get to their top of the ladder, they kick the ladder. And they forget, how did I get there? I've got some knowledge, I had a guru, whatever it may be. So we don't want to become like that. It is very risky business if we develop that mentality of climbing the ladder and then kicking the ladder. Or stepping over the entire parampara, thinking that now I can manufacture my own bhajans, I can manufacture my own sadhana program. It's already been given. Minimum 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. Everything has been given so that we don't speculate on how to practice sadhana bhakti. That is the great joy of having these books translated by Srila Prabhupada and books like Sri Upadeshamrita and Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, which explain to us the science of bhakti and how to behave, the codes and conducts. And by reading these books, we have to obviously put them into application. When a situation arises, we remember, I read in the Nectar of Instruction that I should deal with devotees, I should deal with, you know, envious persons like this, I should deal with ignorant persons like this, I should chant like this, I should rise early, I should associate and read Bhagavatam with devotees. We remember these things and we put them into application. It is, the point is not just to read and just keep it in. We have to put it into application. And we can understand from here that these devotees, Vidura, Uddhava, being very learned, they understood the etiquette and they are putting it into application. So that is a good inspiration for us, that we can learn how to behave from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not something that is so far that we cannot touch, that we can't grasp, that we can't practice. It is very, very applicable to all of us every single day, how we conduct ourselves with the different types of devotees and persons in this material world. So, translation again, Sri Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is watchful for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world." So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Yes, Robert? Yeah, I mean, we see the, especially the obvious example, Shri Sukadev Goswami. You know, when it explained from his birth how he entered into the assembly, and everyone in that assembly could understand the caliber of Sukadev Goswami. Although he looked like a young boy of 16 years old, everyone understood, and they stood, of course, they stood up to receive him. So although, as I mentioned, there's different ways that we can look at seniority and spiritual advancement, spiritual realization is one of the criteria that we can understand why persons like Sukadev Goswami were given the reception that they were given, although they were of a younger age, or although there were great liberated sages in the assembly. Persons like, you know, there was Narada Muni in his presence. So it seems like there's Narada Muni, the transcendental sage amongst the demigods, and there's Sukadev Goswami, which seemingly looks like Narada Muni could have spoken Bhagavatam. Why Sukadev Goswami? Very, very young personality. But in terms of the lila of the Lord and the desire of the Lord, and also the qualification of Sukadev Goswami, spiritual advancement and realization, not only from that point, but even when from his childhood, we can understand the potency of personalities like Sukadev Goswami. So not only is age a factor in understanding this pastime, but also the spiritual advancement of the personalities. Right, we can think of even in small pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, it seems like a 5-year-old being this powerful, how is it possible? What does a 5-year-old know? But we should understand that spiritual advancement is not dependent on any material designation. So you may be young, you might be old, you may have been, you know, let's say for example, you might have come to the process of bhakti when you're 55 years old, and someone might have been born in a Krishna conscious setting. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the oldest person is not spiritually advanced. It could be the other way around. And I know of certain personalities who took, even in this present situation, they took to Krishna consciousness in their 50s. But the level of their Krishna consciousness was as if they've been practicing for many, many births. So sometimes Krishna, just as the pastime of March Chitraketu becoming the demon, what was his name in the next life? Ritasura. We can think this is a demon, it explains copper red eyes, you know, he had hair that was like, you know, scary, he was huge. But if you look at what he was saying to Indra when they were fighting, the philosophy that was coming from his mouth. So externally it might look like, oh, this person is young, is old, they're not advanced. But spiritual advancement, it doesn't necessarily depend on age. as we see with the presence of Sukadev Goswami. All these sages came to hear from him, but he had that spiritual realization. That is why even the sages, just from looking at him, could understand his transcendental position, and they heard from him. So I don't know if that helps at all. Thank you for that. Anything else? On that side? No? Instead? Yes. So, one thing we should always remember in any situation, familiarity breeds contempt. So when we're younger devotees, or actually when we're any type of devotee, we never ever want to become familiar or too familiar, because we might take the association for granted. So even with our mates, whether we're in the ashram or just in the community, we might think, you know, this person, and very, very whimsical, but actually we should never be whimsical. So sometimes we might have a senior devotee who is very, very friendly to us, right? Because that is the nature of a devotee, is that they give us friendship, and these types of friendships are explained in the Nectar of Instruction, Padeshamrita, the six loving exchanges between Krishna conscious persons. One develops a friendly mood and giving and receiving gifts, honoring and, you know, giving prasadam, etc. So this creates a friendship mood. But in our consciousness, we should always understand, this might be my shiksha guru, it might be my diksha guru. They might be friendly, but we shouldn't get, we shouldn't be, what's the word? Frivolous in our dealings with them. There should always be some line of respect. Like, I wouldn't go around, I have my mentors or my shiksha gurus, I wouldn't go slapping them on the face and calling them cute little names. Like, I have to maintain some line of respect, otherwise I won't take the instructions seriously. Because what happens when we just focus on one aspect of their being a friend, and also being who they are as a devotee, we won't take the instruction, because we just think, you're just my buddy, you're just my mate. You're just, you know, one of the girls, one of the blokes. Then it becomes very, very whimsical. Then we don't hear from them. Then we won't develop a mood of respect. Oh, it's just, you're just Tariana, how are you? And it's like, oh yeah, Bhaktin Tariana, Bhaktin Diana. And we don't develop a mood of, oh, Prabhu Mataji. Then we won't listen to what they have to say, because we just think they're just a friend. So sometimes it happens that we have someone who is in a situation where they have to give you service, and they have to be firm with you at the same time, but they're also your friend. But it also happens that sometimes we oscillate, we like to choose just the friendship, and we don't listen to their instructions. So we always have to remember that, yes, devotees are very kind-hearted. They will offer their friendship because they want to see us grow in devotional service. But at the same time, we should understand that we should always keep a line of respect. Otherwise, we become whimsical in our association, and we won't take the instructions seriously. Okay, there's one more minute. Hena, is there anything else to say?
In case of Advaita Acharya, he respected the Lord very much, although Lord was very young to him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he respected Advaita Acharya like his contemporary of his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri.
Mm-hmm.
So the age gap was too different. Still, I mean, it's just a comment that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected him, Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya respected Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being
good as his guru, because it's the guru's godbrother.
Yes.
Right? So that's Lord Chaitanya being a devotee, showing how we should treat our spiritual masters, godbrothers.
Yeah.
There's a certain verse for Lord Chaitanya where it said when we did the disciples course, explaining the different ways we deal with different gurus, that once, you know, the guru's godbrothers should be respected as much as the guru because they're teaching the same message. So that Lord Chaitanya is also showing. Lord Chaitanya is not only the supreme person, but he's coming in the mood of a devotee. So although in that pastime he's showing respect to Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya, you know, knows that this is the supreme Lord. I did the puja, I was there with the Ganga water, worshipping Shalagram Shila with Tulsi to call the Lord to descend. Right, and it so happened that the Lord's spiritual master was the godbrother of Advaita Acharya, but still Lord Chaitanya would show that lesson, that we treat the guru's godbrothers the same as we treat our spiritual, our own Diksha Guru. Okay, thank you very much. Going to Rajshima Bhagavatam Ki. Chakra Prabhupada.